So the second speaker we have is Hugh Young Sun, who's talking about changing value networks in the digital music industry. So it's now both had to be about music, which is luck, not judgment, Marcel.
So hi, my name is Hugh Young Sun. I'm from a slightly different background from most of you here. I'm studying science, technology, and innovation studies. In our department, we study how technology develops in accordance with social change and legal regimes, etc. So hopefully I can deliver some slightly different point of view in the music industry than you have known so far. In my thesis, this is based on my thesis. My thesis examines the disruption of digital technology in the music industry. And the story, of course, starts with Napster. And you probably have heard of it, the story by now. But Napster has suggested a digital revolution in the music industry. And there was a huge call that we have to achieve the creative destruction of the music industry, as you are familiar with. And it is based on three beliefs that we can achieve in the digital revolution of the music industry. One is disintermediation that shortens the value chain by diminishing the role of intermediaries or rendering them redundant. And also we can overturn the control that used to be in the hands of big recording companies. We also can achieve the celestial jukebox where people can have an access to unlimited music whenever and wherever, which also Professor Goldstein described as a holy grail that could perfect the law's early aim of connecting authors to their audiences free from interference. So after this, after 15 years trials and errors, the recording industry spent a lot of time and effort to figure out how to diminish the piracy and how to make people money. And it seemed to be a huge challenge, but there was this company called Spotify came up with a new business model based on streaming service, and we finally managed to make people pay for music, and there's a huge correlation between diminished piracy and increased uptake of a streaming service. So with regard to this change, there are two existing views. One is the arrival of innovation. Pollack says Spotify is an elegant application, by far the simplest and easiest way to listen to digital music. And another commentator said it has a great resemblance of P2P, but is entirely legal. Spotify revolutionized the music industry, and the future of the music is here. The other end of the spectrum, someone says the innovation is still stifled because of the recording labels, especially the major labels' power that they have. And by moving beyond these two dichotomies of understanding, I would like to show some underlying dynamics happening in the music industry, which could show both a change and continuity that's emerging in the music industry. And to do that, I'm trying to show the value networks, which is helpful to understand the complicated nature of the music industry. To do that, I will start with a conventional music value chain. This is a very simplified version of the value chain, but it used to be very straightforward. Artists create the music, labels manufacture, reproduce, distributors would distribute and promote music, and the retailers would choose what to display, and consumers would consume. And digital technology has changed it, and artists and consumers indeed can connect directly without any interference. And at the center of it, there is this tool called Direct to Fan. So there is a wide range of tools enabling artists to record, produce, distribute their music on their own without having to sign contracts with the labels. And it's displayed a tool called Direct to Fan. It is forged into three forms. One is crowdfunding. Companies like Kickstarter or Pledge Music provide a platform where artists can launch their project, and users who are interested in them would pledge their fund, and then artists can kickstart their ideas to happen. And it has three main meanings. One is participatory platform. It's a pipeline of collectivism through which fans can become an important collaborator in the music production. And Yancey Strickler, our CEO at Kickstarter, said it actually also can be a very effective tool for anti-piracy, because you might download some album illegally and P2P file sharing, but you are willing to pay more than what you have to pay in normal sense because you like the artist. Another meaning is artist empowerment. Amanda Palmer is one of the famous cases that has achieved a success in Kickstarter. She raised $1.2 million from about 25,000 fans, and it is perceived to be the proof that social media could bring change in the music industry. It is a platform for middle-class artists who don't necessarily want to be a superstars. So it is another meaning of it is a modern patronage. It is in continuation of the patronage, but in the old patronage system, artists used to have to accord the patrons' taste, but in this open platform, they can brave their creativity as they wish because the patrons agree the artists to do whatever they want. Another D2F platform is soft distribution companies like TuneCore or CD Baby are providing tools helping artists distribute their music to online stores like iTunes or Spotify. And it has abolished the barrier. Anyone, amateur or professional, can distribute their music, have a chance to have their music listened by their fans. It also suggested equal exposure. Anyone has the same exposure opportunity. It is also very transparent in contrast to what used to be very complicated because of the very complicated contractual terms. And David Byrne gives a very detailed account of how it benefits some artists. Another platform is artist management. So it is quite an achievement that artists can distribute their music, but it is a lot more than just putting out their album online to be an artist. So you have to create a fandom. And companies like Topspin or Reverb Nation are helping artists to collect their fans' email address or their create their own websites or selling their merch items, etc. It has three meanings as well. It is helping fan developing fan engagement and gives an autonomy to artists that they can decide what they think is the best for their artist career. It is all good. But so far, the impact of these changes remain only in cultivating subculture and has not spread into the main adoption. The reason behind it, I think, are changing dynamics. And this is one of the dynamics. The channels have diversified. YouTube, of course, is a famous one. SoundCloud is a fast-growing company where artists can voluntarily upload their music to put their music. Shazam is another tool helping consumers identify the songs that they're listening at their cafe or restaurant. So Rich Bangalore, president of A2IM, says, traditionally, the only way to monetize was to get into the physical retail, and that's how it worked. And things move forward, and the good news is now everybody has an access, especially direct access to fans, which we never had before. But this means a blurred line between promotion and distribution. For recording companies, it means a weak link between sales and exposure. In other words, it is very difficult to control what they want to sell. And these are a few examples how some songs have become popular through unconventional channels. Psy, of course, you probably know, South Korean guy, has become a global star because of one tweet that Justin Bieber's manager said, "Why did I not sign this guy?" Another example is Bon Jovi, so Living on a Prayer. It's a 1987 classic rock, but it gained a second life when a fan was singing to this song at a basketball game. So it recharted a Billboard 100 chart after 26 years of charting in the first place. And The Lord is a new example. She rose as a shining star overnight because of Sean Parker, who added this song to his playlist. And Will Page, director of economics at Spotify, said, "What happens on the 2nd of April? This Lord, this is not radio plug or PDs or promotion department. This is just drinking coffee, like the song, put it in my playlist, and then it becomes a huge hit." These are very different. And it means for recording companies who want to control the sales, it means very fierce competition. So Rich Bangalore, president at A2IM, says, The bad news is everybody has an access, so how do you get noticed? That's a big problem. Dominic Jones, marketing director at Ingrid, says the hurdle with this tool is getting the most profile for it, making sure it is in the homepage or a genre page or a newsletter. If you look at iTunes, There's scrolly things. You can scroll forever if you want, but having one of those banners on iTunes gives all the advantages other people haven't got. So getting your music heard is very important. This is what Herbert Simon, an economist, described as attention economy at the very early dawn of electronic age. He said, in an information-rich world, the wealth of information means a dearth of something else, a scarcity of whatever it is the information consumes. What information consumes is rather obvious. It consumes the attention of its recipient. And Scott Cohen, co-founder at The Orchard and other distribution companies, said, streaming service belongs to this category because if I am spending an hour listening to one artist, then I'm not listening to another artist. Obviously, we can't listen to more than two songs at the same time. So what this story tells is, contrary to the belief that celestial jukebox would lead to cultural diversity, people actually don't know what to listen to. And music analyst Mark Mulligan said, it's a tyranny of choice. We don't know when we want to be dictated what to listen to. So music discovery has become a very essential issue in the music industry. There are five important factors deciding or influencing people's music discovery. One is radio. Even though there was a recent report that more and more people are spending more time in alternative internet platforms and listening to music, but radio still remains very important for songs' popularity. Sam Potts, head of radio at Sony Music, said radios are still the number one sort of discovery mechanism for new music. It's important because it has a ripple effect throughout the rest of the industry, and that could help with life. It can help with TV, it can help with press, it can help with all sorts of other areas of music industry. Another new phenomenon is streaming services playlists. For example, Spotify realized people don't know what to listen to when they were given a choice of unlimited access. So they decided to come up with a curated playlist called Browse Playlist. And Will Page takes an example all about that bass. It's a song by Meghan Trainor. I'm not a big fan of this type of music. This song has become a huge hit because of this Browse playlist edited to one of the playlists on Spotify. So it is becoming a very important momentum for songs' popularity. Another important or interesting phenomenon is indie music blogs, Pitchfork, Brooklyn Vegan, Drowning Sound, etc. These music blogs promoting or giving some reviews on indie music is becoming a very important tool for people finding music as long as indie music is concerned. And how Pitchfork reviews or how many rates Pitchfork gives a very important indicator of the song's popularity. Another less known factor is indie distributors. So what these indie distributors are a new intermediary in the music industry. What they're doing is not only helping indie labels distribute their music to online stores, they're also helping the stores to find out what kind of music they have to pay attention to. So Dominic Jones, marketing director at Ingrid, says, we are the conjugate to the market for our labels. There's no way that any of those retailers, iTunes or Spotify, could physically. There's not enough time in the day to hear from 3,000 independent labels and three majors. It just couldn't happen. So they need a filter, and those filters are distributors or aggregators. What this says is, at Ingrid, I was working for Ingrid, and they get about 6,000 newly released albums weekly, and they have to choose 10 albums amongst 6,000 albums, and they give this 10 list to companies like Spotify, saying, these are the good songs, you have to pay attention to this and feature it or add it to the playlist, probably. Another thing is market share still matters. Simon Wheeler, Vice President of Beggars Group, says, forgetting that amount of shop window space, Universal says, I've got 40% market share, so I'm entitled 40% of your front page. And he says, everybody exaggerates their market share, so it means that there are no space left for other people. As some of you might be aware, Beggars is the biggest indie label. So if this guy says they're disadvantaged, then think about other small indie labels. And this is changing value networks. This is very preliminary, so I would welcome any comment or criticism. This is based on Legion 2003's failure networks. I won't describe in detail, but there are these red ones are the new players. Indie music distributors and direct-to-fan tools are being used in throughout the whole networks. And festival is becoming a very important venue for artists to promote their music. And indie blogs, as I said, is becoming a very important intermediary. SNS is also very important. And DSPS means digital service providers are the new entrants in the music industry. So contrary to our belief that the music industry will be disintermediated, I haven't really noticed any players disappeared, whereas I've seen more and more intermediaries in the music industry. Also, another factor is artists and consumers' interaction has increased a lot. So I'm still working on this, so any comment or feedback will be greatly appreciated. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Do you want to take a few questions? You have time.
Yeah.
Daniel.
You want to go just to the previous slide with the biometrics? Yes. What I think would be helpful would be if you could perhaps, in this very graph or Google graph, provide a sense. I'm not saying that there are intermediaries appearing, but have a sense in a way not just of what is more important, but also about what is proportionately less important. Because surely there may be more intermediaries, but some of them may play a smaller role, as per in a sense Joel's presentation yesterday. So representing that in the network, meaning with different core codes, I think would be quite helpful and that would help frame.
I agree. Yeah, but they have not disappeared, but the roles have changed, and the significance of the roles have changed. You're right. I'll try to find a way that I can show it.
Good question. I just have one, and it's also partly listening to talking to Joel that made me think this. If you have this competition for attention, then do we see changes in how people write songs? I mean, if you have, you used to have a lot of time, half an album to capture somebody. Now you may have a minute. So does that change? In the same way that when we write papers now, we know that we used to have maybe the whole first page. Now it's maybe only the abstract, because everybody referees so much that if you haven't caught them by then, the paper is dead. Is it possible to see something like that, so that also this has an impact for the sort of things?
Well, that's not really the focus of my thesis, but I think that's very important. And one of the interviewees said he hasn't really seen a good music in recent years. He said everybody's making the music because they think it'll be popular. So because of fierce competition, seems like there's no evidence to support it, but artists are prone to make music that they think would become popular.
I have a very short question. I think your presentation was great. What kind of data did you use? How did you collect your data?
Was a qualitative research. So I did interviews with 60 entrepreneurs in the music industry, and I used two in-depth data case analysis. One is in-groups and new intermediary, another is Spotify, a digital service provider. So it's mostly based on qualitative.
John, last question. Maybe because I can't see properly, but live music, is it that there?
Live music is festival. I try to show on the left.
So it's only the festival is the form in which live music now operates in this value chain.
Yeah, I didn't really look in detail in that side, so yeah, I'll try to pay more attention to that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.